Gentlemen, let's broaden our minds. Lawrence?
Welcome back, everybody, to the Cave of Solitude. I am your host, Eric Anthony. Thank you for joining us. This is the podcast from the megacity metropolis of Toronto, your pop culture and comic book podcast talking about things that everybody loves. And before we get into one of our tangents, as our hostess with the mostest is probably going to give us the weather report, do remember that we will get to the subject that is in the title bar eventually. So with no further ado, I reintroduce to you everybody's favorite co-host of the Cave of Solitude, the realest voice in podcasting, I've been told, and I would happen to agree. Stand and state your name and where you're from.
It's Lady J.
The insane
mercenary. I was going to say membrane, but that's not right.
Lady J, Daff J, what other names we got for you? Pseudonyms, a.k.a. aliases.
DJ Symphony.
That's a good one.
Remember that one?
I remember that one. What else? Keep coming. I know you got like 10. You're like a rapper from 1996.
We got Daphne the Incredible.
Okay.
Daphne the Amazing.
Okay.
Daphne the Sleepwalker.
Which one do you prefer? Daphne the Sleepwalker.
I was trying to see. I was checking to see if you were paying attention.
Which one do you want to go by?
Well, we're always Lady J.
Always Lady J?
Always Lady J.
Okay. Lady J, are you ready for
insane
this
insane mercenary makes me sound insane. It makes me sound a little bit nuts.
It's...
What?
I think if a couple of things in your life went a different direction, if like you would have chosen a different door maybe 10 years ago, you could have been...
I would have turned out to be a criminal?
An insane mercenary. I think it's possible. So...
I think I would have been like a sniper or something.
You could have, I don't
know. In another life.
You're more of a knife person to me.
That? Or a dog walker. One of the two.
That's extreme.
Extreme.
Daff J, we're in for a treat this week. We're going to put you on the hot seat. Because we got a episode request once again. Like we did last week. This week it's directed to you.
Oh.
Are you ready?
I think so.
Before we get into it, into our theme for this week, lots of things happened this weekend.
Too many things happened this weekend.
I don't know what you want, if you want to spend a whole episode talking about Iron Fist or a whole episode talking about the Justice League trailer. I'm figuring with the topic that we got this week, the Justice League is fitting to talk about. So why don't we tackle that? In our little preamble before we get into the show theme for this week. Is that cool? We'll save Iron Fist for maybe another time? I got a lot to say about Iron Fist. Not that much to say, actually. I got a lot to say, but I don't have a lot to say.
That's the thing. I feel like we're kind of on the same page, where there's so much to say, but it's almost not even worth it.
Should I let Jazz talk about Iron Fist? Because that's his guy. He's a big Iron Fist fan.
You can get an opinion, but I don't think that should keep us from not saying
that's true.
What we think.
Did you like Iron Fist?
No.
Okay. Let's talk about...
next.
Justice League trailer, the second trailer, has been released for... I think it's November the movie's going to be released, 2017. It's coming up quick. I mean, November's far still in regards to within this year. It's like near the end of the year, but it's going to come quick.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't seem like that long ago where we saw... the Superman Batman film. It's actually a year. So it's like a quick turnover.
It's true, because when they first announce certain movies, you're so excited. You're like, oh, that's so far. I have to wait so long. And then all of a sudden, it's just right there.
It's being done pretty fast.
Wow, okay.
So.
Time flies by.
Time flies.
Yep.
And so does Aquaman, apparently. But let's get into it a little bit. From the first trailer from the Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con that they released in 2016, I was a little bit skeptical of what I saw. I wasn't a big fan of seeing Bruce Wayne travel the world to put together the League. I think if it was Batman doing it, it would have sat a little bit better with me. So I wasn't a huge... It didn't instill confidence in me. Let's just say that when I saw the first trailer. Second one that's come out, that's shown a lot more action, possible plot, all that kind of jazz. What did you think? Are you in anticipation for it more? Did it pump you up the way BVS trailers pumped you up? What say you?
I'm overwhelmed.
Okay.
And not in a good way.
Okay.
Not that overwhelming can be a good thing, but...
Yeah, no.
Nor am I underwhelmed.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
I think it does. Explain yourself.
I didn't like it.
So what...
I thought, from what I saw, there's a lot of things that seem inaccurate. It seems like a lot is going on. It looks a little chaotic to me, and I don't particularly... I'm disappointed with the way Batman is being portrayed. Like, he just seems like a dumb individual to me. For him to just be, again, just based on the preview, for Bruce Wayne to just kind of put himself out there.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of letting out his identity, like, with no reservation, with no explanation. It's just like, oh, you're Bruce Wayne. You're not supposed to know that. Only I have the privilege as the audience to know that. And I feel like it's privileged information that's just kind of being thrown out there in this particular world. Right. And I don't like it.
So is your biggest so I have two questions. One is, are you jaded based off of what you've come to expect now from Zack Snyder films as far as the spectacle and the like? It always visually is very mind-blowing what he does. Like, he does things that make everything look like, whoa, that is epic, that is huge, that is like...
But see, that's what I mean by being overwhelmed.
Right.
I think it's too much in an untimely fashion.
So is that what I was asking, is that knowing where he goes with it, has that jaded you in your anticipation? Because a lot of what we saw with let's say the Batman v Superman things were very similar, but we didn't know where he would take it. Do you know what I mean? So has that affected your, like, I know what he's doing again, and I don't, it's reminiscent of this, and I don't like it? Or is it just, if you will, to eliminate whatever you know about the other films that he's done, would this still be overwhelming for you? Or would you feel more excited seeing, you know, Cyborg and Flash and everybody, the cast?
I don't know.
Okay. That's fair.
No, yeah. And from what, again, my opinion, from what I saw, some one-liners seemed dorky and campy.
Oh, man.
I'm not excited to see this. Like, I don't...
Are you going to watch it?
You know what? I don't know.
Wow.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
And I say that with a heavy heart, because I want to see it.
Yeah, of course.
But I almost don't... And I know I'm only one individual, but I don't want to keep giving these people money for them to think that what they're doing is acceptable. And then for them to continue this, well, they're probably going to do a third one, maybe, I don't know. But to continue these storylines that appear to be ridiculous. Like, I don't want to be contributing to the madness. And I can't, I'm so disappointed by what I've seen thus far. I can't even formulate it into words, but when I did see the trailer, not at all impressed with anything about
it. Right.
Yeah.
Is your biggest bone to pick the way they're portraying Batman for you? Is that the hardest thing for you, or?
It's the biggest issue I have, because I see Bruce Wayne, I see Batman to be an intellectual person who you know, double checks, triple checks his every single move. He's, you know what I mean? I think that it's a poor portrayal of the character that I love. But I also don't like how other characters are being portrayed. I've only ever known the Flash to be in, like, this, you know, what's that scientific word where you're moving?
Aerodynamic.
And, yeah, like, in this type of, like, suit. Like, he looks like he's wearing metal. And to me, in my non-science mind, I'm thinking that kind of counteracts his capabilities a little bit because he's carrying weight. So I'm not understanding why it looks like his suit is, like, why is there two cyborgs in this movie?
Right.
Is what I'm seeing.
Yes, yes, yes.
So
I agree.
I'm like, okay, that's a little confusing. The one scene that I saw in this particular trailer was when I saw Mira.
Yeah, yeah.
That looked kind of cool, but that was a snippet. Like, literally, just a couple of seconds where she was obviously immersed in water, and you saw her crown, and you saw her hair flowing. And,
yeah.
But it was literally a millisecond of what I saw. That was the only thing that I'm like, oh, that would be cool. But then I was kind of unimpressed with everything else.
Yeah.
So, that's just my...
I hate feeling not excited for something I've waited so long to watch. Some people are of the, like, they... And here's... I was thinking about this today when I was thinking about Iron Fist or... Even of how harsh I was with Dawn of Justice when it had come out. And the thing is, I'm the type of person who's partial to these things because I love them so much. And a lot of times, some fanboys or fans of this genre, people get excited for the simple fact that it exists. Because it wasn't too long ago where the thought of having... a Justice League movie seemed crazy, like it couldn't be done, or an Avengers movie, like, you know, people are just happy that there's something out there on film that's X-Men, when for so long we were ostracized for liking this stuff. But now I'm at the point where I try to approach all of these things. I don't always want to go in automatically liking it because it's Superman, or because it's, you know, a Marvel character that is built more for those that are in the know. I want to try to approach it as fairly and with taking off the rose-colored glasses. Like, I don't get excited just because they referred to Kun Lun in Iron Fist. Like, show me Kun Lun. Don't just say that it's there. Because some people are like, I can't believe they just, you know, said this guy, his name, oh, that's so cool that it even exists. That's not good enough for me anymore. And now that they're making Justice League, it's like, okay, you're making Justice League, and I love Ben Affleck as Batman, how he looks. Like, the look of him, I completely buy him being Batman, physically, the physicality of it. But, and some people will be like, this isn't the cartoon, or this isn't the comic, this is the movie universe. And I don't accept that as a caveat, because to me... Once it becomes a film that is international, it becomes everybody's version. Everyone's sharing this experience, right? So to me, I don't want it to be I don't like the definitive version of something that we are all going to share to be so off of what the character is typically known for. Like, for instance... I think regardless of the version of Batman you've read, unless it's like a what-if story in the Elseworlds line of DC, if you watch the Justice League cartoon, if you read the well-known Justice League books, or even when he branched off, made his own team of the Outsiders, he never told his teammates...
I found that comic book for you.
You did?
Yeah.
He never told his teammates who he was. Even if they knew who he was, they didn't even let him know and be like, okay, just let him think that he's got us fooled.
Right.
It was something that he always kept close to the chest. And when he shared it with you, it was a sign of trust. It was a sign of him letting you into his world.
Absolutely. I agree.
So when I see in a trailer, Bruce Wayne going around. Just
giving
around.
It away like a cheap whore. I can't. No, I cannot.
Mighty strong words, Dav-J.
No. You know what? And it sounds like it, but that's how I feel. No, it's privileged information.
It cheapens the characters.
That now tells me that he doesn't even respect it. You know what I mean? Like, for him to just show up in the trailer to Barry Allen, you're the Flash, like, or whatever the hell he said. And then for him to just throw a batarang without, like, I'm disgusted. I can't.
Yeah.
It's not.
I don't feel as strongly as you do this time around yet. I haven't seen the film, but there's just certain things where I'm like,
you know what? And if I do happen, because I don't want to be eating my words. If I do happen to watch this movie, I'm doing it more out of obligation than I am out of want, out of desire, out of, like, excitement. It's more just like, oh, let me just see what the heck they did with this, and let me go back and...
and some people are like, even when I heard people, Kevin Smith, who's a big Batman fan, he had criticisms for BVS, but then he tried to watch it with the rose-colored glasses and was just like, you know what? I'm just happy that parademons are in it. Because you see the parademons this time.
In this time, right?
So you know that Darkseid is going to be the villain. Unless Superman is... A resurrected Superman is the villain. And they're not showing him. And they've got to defeat him. And then he turns back good again. You know what I mean? There's all of these... So it's like, there's just so many things here. And the whole movie is... It's beyond dark now. It's not even just like the final battles and like... Doom and gloom and Armageddon is coming. It's like the whole movie seems like that. And it's... I don't know. It just doesn't seem fun. And I want my superhero movies not to be Disney. There's a lot of people say, oh, you want all your superhero movies to be like Marvel and to be Disney and to be Mickey Mouse. No, I don't want that. I want them to fit the team, the character, whoever it is. I don't need them to have a... Like, even when you watch the Wonder Woman trailer, it's got that filter on it that doesn't make it too bright.
Right.
And if any superhero should be bright, it should be the DC universe. Like, those are brightly colored characters. Batman's at nighttime. And his story should be told at nighttime because it captures that character.
Right.
But Superman should be bright. Metropolis is a place where the sun shines. Mm-hmm. That's what juxtaposes the characters, right?
Yeah, the sun comes out in Metropolis.
Yeah.
It's always raining in Gotham.
Right.
Like, there's a distinct...
The mascara, I gotta feel like I'm on the beach. Like, not just with a filter. I gotta feel like it's bright where I need sunglasses in the theater.
Right.
Because it's Paradise Island. Mm-hmm. That's what it's called. You know, Keystone City or Central City, it's not dark and dingy. It's the Flash. He's gotta have a little... Not cheesy humor necessarily the way this guy seems to have it in the trailer, but, like, he's...
There's some oomph in the city.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I just...
It's a representation of the character.
It's there's nothing about...
And it seems
about,
to be kind of...
Everyone seems off base. And it, to me, Cyborg isn't a Justice League character. When I think of Justice League, he is in the, you know, the more modern Justice League version. He's on this team. He's a Titans character. He's from the Teen Titans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dick Grayson is his... Wally West, that's his,
right.
You know, original comrades.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do Justice League? Show me Martian Manhunter.
That's what, yeah.
Where's the Green Lantern?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? I don't know. I don't have a problem with characters being diverse and having, you know, the races represented. Put... John Stewart, Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to put Hal Jordan if you've got, you know, not enough representation.
Right.
Put him in it. But you gotta have Green Lantern in the Justice League. I don't know. There's just certain
maybe
things.
Maybe he'll make a cameo? I don't know.
I don't know. I don't feel hopeful. Because the trailers don't look
especially
hopeful.
Especially because Isn't, like, Green Lantern, like, this, the Earth is, like, a part of his, what's it called?
Jurisdiction.
Yeah. It's yeah, like, he would totally be aware of what's yeah. going on. So, if you're gonna involve anyone, yeah. I would think.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not excited about it. And I...
Did you like, there's a couple things that I kind of liked. I don't want to be completely negative. My biggest...
No, I said I liked Mira.
Yeah, and I like Commissioner Gordon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm so glad you brought that up because I almost Simmons. Forgot about it.
Yeah. I think that.
When I saw the trailer with you, I'm like, I don't like it, but I like Commissioner Gordon. Yeah. Like, I said that with, like,
that was walked cool.
away, but I was impressed. Yeah, so I think he's a fanboy.
You think so?
I think so. Because he played the dude in Spider-Man.
J. Jonah.
Yeah.
Jameson. He was perfect as J. Jonah Jameson. I hear his voice when I read. You know a guy's done the role well when you read
and them you hear in another character.
And you still, like, I hear his voice.
Yeah. I think he's a fanboy. I also think Rosario Dawson is a fangirl. Although I know she's played the same character for all three heroes so far. Or four. No.
Four.
Daredevil, Luke Cage, Jones, and now Iron Fist. Yeah. But I don't know. I think...
She is... I think she does have an appreciation for that genre, that world.
And if not, it's developed.
Yes.
I think with all the characters that she's been involved with as of to now, right?
Yes.
So, yeah. I think they're too. I think they're fan people. Undercover fan people.
There's something I had. One more thing. Oh, the one thing that I dislike the most out of the trailer is the forced humor. When Flash asks Bruce, "So what's your superpower?" And he throws out the line, I'm rich. Yeah. I feel like he would say, shut up. Or, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm, you know, they say the armchair quarterbacking, like it's so easy for you to call the shots when you don't have to. But to me, if someone said, if you're Batman, right, let's freestyle this. And I'm the Flash, Green Lantern. And I look at you and I go, well, what's your superpower? What do you say?
I don't know. It would be in some type of, like, derivative of, like, I don't need superpowers. Like, like something witty like that. Like,
ask me.
So you want to.
Ask me.
So you wanted to really say it.
No. Not me. No. Say it. What are you going to say?
What's your superpowers? Go.
I'm Batman. That's what he would say. I'm Batman. What else does he have to say? What's your super? You're just a man. No, I'm Batman. Right? What other explanation do you need? That just adds, that tells you everything without telling you anything about who he is. It makes you scared of him, but it makes you be like, what? Not I'm rich.
If he would have
said that, would you have been like, yes?
That's him.
I don't know. Maybe it's just. Or would have that have been too obvious or too cheesy? Like, oh my gosh, they're throwing that line out again. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know.
He's just giving it out like a cheap whore.
cheap whore. Doing dirty, dirty things. Dirty things.
Okay. I hope that you're not too disgusted with Batman right now, because I got an email to read to you. Are you ready?
Listos.
Bilingual, Lady J. Señora J. Okay. Let me pull up my email here. Let me close this down. What's happening? All right, Def J. Cousin Adam sent in another email. Here we go.
Does that mean he liked the first one? The first episode we did in response to his email?
I'm going to read you the email.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I got excited.
Okay. Here we go. Okay, ladies and gents at the Cave, first of all, thanks for doing the episode I requested, but I think it's only fair that someone else gets their turn, too. I'm talking about the hostess with the mostest, the dame with the fame, the señorita of solitude. He's adding the curator of the Cave, none other than Lady J, a.k.a. Daft J.
My. Wow.
Now it's your time. You must know what was coming. Batman. Real life films only. This is what I request. Fave Batman movies. Your favorite Batman. Your favorite villains from the films. Oof. So to rank them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And let's go nuts. And do Alfred's too.
Ooh la la.
Favorite Alfred's. You know what? Oh, can Eric do this impression? You want to get nuts? Come on, let's get nuts. He asked for it, so I did it. Let's make not one human exception. Batman the Animated Series and Kevin Conroy. That could be included. Not so much the animated series, but Mask of the Phantasm was a film.
Mm-hmm. It really
released
was.
Released in theaters.
Yep.
So yeah, he says, he's too iconic to include him. If you want to do Mask of the Phantasm, go for it. So we got Batman, the animated series, is the gold standard for pretty much every cartoon ever. I happen to agree.
Word.
Justice League is good.
It is.
Justice League is really good. It's a good, yeah. And Batman's awesome in it. There's Batman, You Never Dance with the Devil in the Pale Moonlight, so the Tim Burton Batman.
Mm-hmm.
These are his ways of explaining it. Batman Returns. Apparently people go around eating mistletoe. Batman Forever. The Bat Suit Had Nipples. Batman and Robin, the Bat Card, never leave home with the cave without it.
Oh God!
Batman Begins, swear to me, great one. The Dark Knight, where Batman's apparently wear hockey pads. The Dark Knight Rises, geriatric Batman becomes his own chiropractor, and finally, Martha, you have to save Martha.
Oh my goodness!
I think that's all of them.
I completely forgot about that one.
I don't know if you included it, and maybe it's not included in his email, but there's two missing from the list that were films released in theater.
True.
Batman 1966.
The movie.
Batman the movie.
Yeah.
As well as Lego Batman. It was a hit.
Going to the archives
a couple episodes ago, me and Daft J dig deep into Lego Batman. I think that's all of them. If you feel like it, you can include Eric in this discussion. Excuse me? P.S. I guess you can skip the number one favorite because we all know that Batman and Robin is easily the best movie.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, but when Robin jumps through the wall on a motorcycle and makes the bat symbol.
Oh, God.
How can that not be number one?
Oy.
Okay. He says, I couldn't even write that without laughing. It was so bad. Okay, pressure's on. Daft J, you had me in the hot seat last week, asking me all these questions, putting the pressure on me. Do you think you can handle it this week?
I gotta pee.
We'll be back after a short break.
Yes, please.
We'll be back in two.
She passes, each one she passes goes, ah. When she walks, she's like a samba that swings so cool and sways so gentle that when she passes, each one she passes goes, ooh. But I watch her so sadly. Can I tell her I love her? Yes, I would give my heart gladly. But each day when she...
And we're back.
Good?
Yeah. Are you done? I'm good. I think I got a little nervous.
Any more bathroom breaks?
I also had some bodacious. It's kind of making its way through. I'm good now.
You're like a Cocker Spaniel.
I'm good.
Okay.
So I'm sorry, your question was?
Are you ready? Is it too on the spot for you?
I'm good. I'm going to do it. I'm ready.
What's this?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
You prepared.
Of course I did.
You didn't give me the chance to prepare. You put me on the spot. You read me an email.
No. You want to know what
it is. And I freestyled it.
It's already enough. Okay. I think if anyone has been listening to our shows from the beginning, between you and I'm always the one that has the hardest time with her words. Okay? Can I, like, at least I'm humble enough to recognize that, okay?
I think you're just fine.
So, for me to formulate my thoughts at times can be a little painful. Okay? So, when I was told that this was on its way and you had informed me, I'm like, oh my goodness. I gotta know what I'm talking about here, then, now. So,
I made
some notes.
This is like a lawyer. You're prepared for court.
Yeah, I came ready, just like Batman, just like the real Batman would. Always one step ahead. Just contingency plan. Here, now, ready. Hit it.
I like that.
Right?
Because I had to do the Superman one and I had to make things up as they came to me the way Superman does. I sounded like a retard.
Because
I rearranged my I didn't even know what to do with Superman Returns. And now you've got this. Did you remember Batman 66?
I did. I did not do Batman Lego, but I remembered Batman 66.
Well done.
I did.
You can't see it. She went for a high five. Missed. I'm shaking your hand.
Blame it on the bodacious.
There you go. There's the high five. Okay. I like that you probably came through the mic.
I've done that a lot.
That's good.
I do that a lot, actually. I always miss the high fives. Okay, I'm ready.
You ready? Okay. Yeah. So, favorite Batman movies. Do you want me to go through them sequentially, or do you have them in order? How do you want to do this? You want to talk about each film a little bit, or do you, like, you know what? Favorite Batman movies, Daft J. Hit me with them.
From a thing to the best?
However you've got it organized in your legal notes.
I'm just going to say this outright right now.
Okay.
Batman Forever.
Okay.
Batman and Robin.
Okay.
They're in the Phantom Zone. I can't even talk about them.
You threw out a Superman reference.
I'm not doing it.
Wow.
I will not talk about, I can't. I'm done. They're not even on the list for me. Can I say that? Can I do that?
It's your show, so you don't even want to talk about them. There isn't one thing about Batman Forever that is like, there's not one, I can understand Batman and Robin, but Batman Forever, not a thing, like.
Okay. If you want, we could talk about what I don't like about it.
Sure. Well, we'll get to it.
I feel like the Joel Schumer, I think he... Schumacher. Schumer. Yeah, you don't even deserve to get your name pronounced correctly. I think he heavily relied on all-star casting to carry the movie. And I think it was just done very, very poorly. I can't stand it. Like, it literally makes my stomach turn, these movies. And I feel like at this point, the opinion that I'm giving is not even a fair one because I haven't seen it in years. Because when I did see it, it just not a good time in my life. Not a good time. So, I can't. Like, the Robin,
Can I piggyback on your point for a second? Whether you make a Batman movie campy, the way that one was, like extremely silly and cheesy for comedic effect, and you miss the characters, and you miss the... Even if you make it dark and gritty, when you're missing core things of the character, that are supposed to be there and that we know them for, no matter if you make it bright and funny and shiny and for kids, or you make it dark and gritty and rated R, if what the core is missing, it's not going to be good. So the same, I think the same things you're expressing about the Batman and Robin and how you feel insulted by it, I think can work the other extreme when you try to force the dark and gritty, when you're missing what the, you can make it campy. Because for instance, Lego Batman was silly and funny, but it got down to continuity as it was, it still stuck with the core themes of Batman. Mm-hmm. Person who's a loner,
yeah,
who's dealing with pain, you know what I mean? In that form of Lego, it still got it. You still felt like you got a Batman movie. It just kind of occurred to me when you said how it makes you feel and how you just try to erase it
from I try to erase it from my brain.
Keep in mind that during that era of the 90s, if you go back, a lot of those mid-90 movies, action movies, were bad. But especially with a comic book franchise like Batman, especially in Joe Schumacher's shoes, he had probably a mandate to make as many toys as you possibly can make from a movie. That was part of the problem back then, because there was so much merchandising directed towards kids. Happy Meals and Batman with a snowsuit, Batman with a submarine suit. Like, you know, so you watch that movie and it's like they're just trying to make toys. As silly as it is and as horrible as it is.
Yeah, but those toys already existed.
But I know they existed, but when there a movie comes out, it's got to be done all over again, right? And if you look at where you're going to get into the Christopher Nolan movies, not known for its toys, right? They didn't care so much about the merchandising the same way they did for Batman Forever, Batman Robin.
Because when things are done with good quality, those things come naturally, I think.
They do, but it wasn't part of the product. Like, you can probably still find Batman and Robin toys at a Comic-Con. It's a lot. There wasn't as much made for Batman Begins. It just wasn't made as much.
Point is, I hated these movies. Fair and I think enough. They're terrible. And I think we've wasted enough time talking about something that doesn't exist in my world.
Erased.
Yep.
From existence.
Mm-hmm.
Phantom Zone.
Yep.
All right. Hit me.
So then what was left on my list... Again, I haven't watched this movie in a very, very long time. It's not exactly on my repeat list. But it kind of holds a place in my heart a little bit, because I felt like it planted Batman in pop culture. Mm-hmm. So the Batman, the movie, the 66, I like that movie.
You still.
I do. As bad as it was and as campy as it was, at least there was, I think, a consistency from the small screen to the big screen a little bit. Like, it was what I grew up watching. It made me excited. It made me laugh. It's a part of my being a kid, mm-hmm, watching this movie.
Sure.
And it was a little silly, but...
It's,
like I said, it doesn't exactly have replay value for me, but on an emotional level, it holds its own, I think.
I agree with you. Because as a kid, I looked at that movie or those shows and those episodes, and I was deadly serious. Like, I watched it, like, I gotta know how he gets out of this trap.
Yeah.
Are they gonna make it? Right? I took it, like, oh my god, I gotta make it home in time.
And I made sure, same bad time, same bad channel. Yeah. I made sure to show up because I just needed to know.
So, yeah, and it was made so that the kids were completely invested. And the adults could look at it and be like, this is silly, right? That was the point of it, and it did it well.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Shark repellent.
Well. But see, it's not that... a perfect example. Something like that, as ridiculous and as comical as it is, like, it makes you reminisce and it makes you laugh. As opposed to, like, you know, I'm rich. It annoys me. It doesn't have the same... positive effect. It doesn't release, you know, good things.
Yeah, it doesn't. It's not. How about this scene?
It's not a feel good moment when you get the old Batman style. Like, it's funny.
He's running like this with the bomb, looking like Super Mario, trying to break down a wall.
I don't know, and maybe it's just a biased opinion because that's my childhood, right? I connect that with going to my favorite city in the world. That was New York for me. That was me seeing it with my cousins. That's seeing Batgirl's bike go across the screen. You're like, yes,
this is
the episode. She's gonna show up. Like, it. There's so many good memories attached to this.
You look at it through rose-colored glasses. Like, it's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a feel-good thing.
And you know what was cool about that movie? All the villains were in it.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have good memories about it, too. It isn't on my repeat list as much as other ones are, but I definitely like it better than Batman and Robin. Doesn't exist.
Doesn't exist.
I like it better than movies that don't exist. Okay, so is that number one?
No. I'm kind of doing a countdown, I think.
So you're going in order?
Yes.
So, like, as released?
Yeah. Well,
You're going backwards? Okay, so that makes it at the bottom.
Right.
Okay.
It's dear to my heart, but it's not my number one.
Okay.
Nor is it my number two.
Okay.
I got a list.
Okay, give me your list.
Next up of my Batman movies would have to be Batman Returns.
Mm-hmm.
Released in 92. Where the Penguin was portrayed by Danny DeVito. Catwoman was Michelle Pfeiffer, and the Batman was obviously Michael Keaton when he reprised his role. That's the one.
One what? Tell me about it.
I mean, I like them. It's just the okay. Next one. So
how many are there that you're ranking right now? What, so is this number 8?
No. It's not. If you eliminate the ones that don't exist, it would make this fifth, I guess, on my scale.
Okay.
So, there was a couple of things that I... And the reason why I ranked it at such, because it was very... this movie was very dark and very gothic. And I'm not exactly a fan of Tim Burton and his
aesthetic.
It's just a little too much for me. Right. I wasn't particularly, between the villains, I wasn't particularly a fan of the Penguin per se, although I liked him growing up. I found him to be repulsive and disgusting.
It was meant to be, right?
I know it was meant to be, but I'm okay with change, but I'm not necessarily a fan of things going so way left field. Like, what I grew up with, the Penguin was, like, in the comic books, or even in the Batman TV show, he was, like, dignified and proper. He felt like he deserved to be among the elitist. You know, a high status profile type of individual. Not this thing that is deformed and just pale white with... I didn't like it. I didn't like it then. I still don't like it now. His nasty teeth. Even the way he would eat. Like, I remember, I think it's in, is it Hush? I think it was Hush. Where they showed the Penguin and he was running for some kind of political office. Was it Hush?
No, or Long Halloween?
It was one of these stories. I'm confusing all my comics right now, but... He was, like, in this suit with his...
He has a nightclub.
Yeah.
In Hush. And I think in...
That's the one I think, yeah. I'm talking... Yeah, that's, yeah, what I'm envisioning. Yeah. But he was running for some... He was governor or something?
I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Anyway, that's what I envisioned.
He was running for mayor in Batman Returns. He's running for mayor in Batman Returns.
Right, but I'm thinking about the comics. I'm thinking about this clean, put-together individual...
He's an aristocrat.
...who has some kind of status in society. And people respect him. It's not out of fear. It's not out of, like, not a grotesque fear, but like he could kind of, there was no explanation as to why he was there. You know what I mean? He deserved to be there. And I found that in Batman Returns, it was just...
it was a different take. And I think...
and I'm like I said, I'm okay with things being different, but when things are so opposite, it's hard for me to appreciate what's trying to be done. Like, I don't like experimentations. I like characters being true to who they are. For you to take the story so left field,
okay,
and make him like this, it just grossed me out. I don't like it.
You don't like his portrayal?
No. And Catwoman, you know, yeah, she can do backflips and stuff, but in retrospect, you know, she's kind of like slutty and like rabid and just deranged. And again, what I grew up with was someone who was like classy and, you know, people were beneath her kind of thing. Like she had like this little, I don't know, she had a thing about her. And I feel like in this particular movie, certain characters that, like again, that I envisioned or grew up seeing, it was completely swapped. They mm-hmm. weren't exactly what I grew up watching. So it was just a different take that it's not exactly my taste.
It was very much a Tim Burton... His view, all his tastes, all his, the way he sees things. But I will say that that depiction of Penguin found its way into the animated series and even affected his portrayal in the comics as the years would come. Like, he wasn't always that top hat wearing with
but
a
little monocle. But that's what I remember, right? Like, that's because if you think about it... anyway, we'll get into it afterwards. But yeah, that's... that would be... I like the movie, but it's not my favorite because of those reasons. It's a little bit too...
It doesn't hold up for me as well. Yeah. I don't find it holds up for me either. I like Catwoman the best out of that movie. I thought her... Michelle Pfeiffer's portrayal of it was inspired. I didn't really care too much for the Batman. There wasn't much Batman in that movie, and it just... I don't think it built as well from... the first movie as it could have.
This is why I made notes. You see how difficult it is for me to tell you what I'm actually thinking? Like,
okay. You're doing fine. You're doing fine.
Yeah, that's my reason for that. Okay. And honestly, Christopher Walken, just him being Christopher Walken scares the crap out of me. I know. I'm not particularly a fan, yet I can't look away.
I think that's what Tim Burton goes for. He wants people to feel that sense of fear and freakish world building, but you can't stop looking at it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's very much his...
it's a very uneasy feeling. Like, I don't feel like I'm enjoying the movie. It's more kind of giving me the creeps.
Yeah.
And it's not like scary horror chasing after you feeling. It's just like, I don't like how this is making me... like,
yeah.
I don't like what I'm looking at.
Yes.
So, it's a Batman movie. It's, I guess, a staple. It's a very well-known movie, but it's not exactly my favorite. But yeah, in regards to what's after it, like, it's obviously better than the Batman, the movie, the 66 version. And it's a whole lot better than what's out there beyond in the Phantom Zone. So, yeah. Following that, however, I would have to say then it would be The Dark Knight Rises. What's that face?
Nothing.
What's that face?
Continue. I'll speak.
Do you want to say so? After. I don't know what you want me to do. You want me to tell you why I like it and why I don't like it?
Yes. Give me whatever you got. Whatever you got there, I want to hear it. This is your spotlight on the movies, the Batman movies. It was requested that you speak on them.
Okay, so I feel like there was almost too much going on in this movie. There was a lot of characters. A lot of people. However, that being said, I think it was done in a very seamless way. Okay. You don't really realize how many characters are actually in this movie. So, obviously, you have Bane, who is a villain. You have Talia, who is a villain. Did I say villain?
Villain.
villain. You also had Roland Daggett, who was also a villain.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot going on, but...
Did you mention Selena?
There was also Catwoman.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. See? Like,
did you mention Scarecrow?
He was the only one that made it in all three movies.
Villain-wise,
that's what I'm saying. That's a lot of people. And that's just the bad guys. We're not talking about auxiliary characters. Like, obviously, Alfred or Lucius Fox or, you know, like a bunch of other people that made it into the movie.
Right.
Yeah. So, not exactly a fan of...
Has that changed over time? Because I remember for myself, when it came out, I was a really... I loved it. I was so excited for it.
With repeat watches, there's a lot of things that I take issue with.
Right.
One of them being when Talia al Ghul dies. I mean, yeah. My dog can play dead better than that. my father will. Like that little twitch that she did at the end. I still can't buy it. And it gets worse every time I watch it. When I do watch it. And then at the same time, though, I found that the two... Not to criticize anyone else's acting, but Talia, I forget her real name, Marion something.
Marion Cotillard.
And Alfred, Michael Caine. Mm-hmm. Like, they're great actors, and I think they had, like, the littlest amount of screen time. Like, I didn't really get to see them, per se. But, you know, Bane sounded like he was fighting a cold throughout the whole movie.
I love Bane in that movie. That's the one thing I really like.
No, his physicality, I think, was on point and it was great, but I'm not sure, like, he needed to take a NyQuil or something.
I liked his voice, though.
Take a night. Well, that's your opinion.
You didn't like it?
I didn't. He was muffled. I have to watch that movie with subtitles when he speaks. I don't know what he's saying. I don't get it.
I love it.
So I'm not, you know, I'm not a
great... Do a Bane impression for me. How does he sound to you? If you were to explain to someone, what do you mean he sounds like muffled and... Oh, you didn't like his voice. What does he sound like, Daft J?
Right?
Keep going. You were doing good. It was good. It was really good. I want to hear the... What do you mean you were born in it? Born in what? Where were you born in, Daft J?
All right. I can't. I gotta keep going. I don't like the fact that Bruce Wayne goes broke.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's terrible. Don't you think that's a bad thing? It's awful. Bruce Wayne going broke? That doesn't make sense to me. I hate the fact that he had this epic fight with Alfred. Like, that's a no-no. You don't do that. You don't dismiss the man that has loved and raised you and has supported you your entire life. Like, it was, and it just seemed petty to me for him to be like, you're done. We're done. All of this, we're done. Mm-hmm. I'm not a fan of that. I thought it was very... It was a very heavy movie in the sense that it was just, like, doom and gloom. It was just very... Like, everything was going wrong. Everything was going wrong in this movie. It was too heavy for me. This is with subsequent watches.
Okay.
Batman himself is rarely in it.
Mm.
I mean, he's been in seclusion for 8 years, so no one has seen him. You mostly see... Bruce with a busted knee or a broken back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what I see. I just see a broken Bruce Wayne. I don't even see the Batman. And when he comes, he just kind of miraculously comes out of nowhere. He's very drama. He's not... Not that I'm saying that he had reason to be funny about things, but, like, it was just... It wasn't a feel-good movie for me.
No.
But,
had a nice, a really nice feel-good ending.
The ending was the only thing that I can say was, like, that ending in the movie theater. And even till now, when I do have the patience to watch it, the ending brings me to tears. Because it's Alfred's dream coming into reality, because he actually said that. He's like, this is what I envision. Yeah. I envision you being happy.
Right.
And just being at peace with yourself. I look over and you're good. You're okay.
Right.
And it was that, that's what makes me feel warm inside. But there was, with subsequent watches, there was a lot of things that I did not enjoy. But, you know, him, like, seeing Catwoman and seeing all these characters come to life and the story being told from this type of, from this perspective, like, what if Batman, when he's about to retire, kind of thing. Like, that was the first time I've ever seen something like that, where he was kind of edging out of society, and what would be if there was no Batman. It kind of, I mean, cool concept. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it was I don't think it was executed the best way, in comparison to other movies, mm-hmm. but it was pretty good. I think a lot of the scenes were good. The airplane scene was amazing.
Great scene.
I liked,
It was very well directed in the sense of capturing those scenes, like the airplanes, like the cinematography, the locations of things, like capture, like giving you the feeling of claustrophobia of, and wanting to escape when Bruce was trapped in that underground. Like, you got it, what was it called where he was? It didn't really give it a name, but where Bane put him.
Yeah, it was that prison, that unknown. Like, there was too many unknowns. Like, nobody knew where, like, where the heck was Bruce Wayne? Nobody knows. He was trapped. How did he get back into Gotham again? Nobody knows. There was no bridges. Everything was blown to pieces. How did he make it in there with no, just with the jacket on his back? Like, I'm not. I found that there was a lot of voids in the movie. I think that's my gripe. There was a lot of holes in it, and I just needed more clarity.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree. I have to ask. Do I ruin these things for you sometimes? Because I feel I can be critical for certain things that maybe you didn't realize, and then do you ever feel like, oh, I wish you would have never told me that or shown me the, you know, what you think are problems with it? Do I ever ruin these movies for you?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think if ever you do bring certain things to our attention, and I'm talking about the people listening, I mean, it's just a different perspective, and it kind of brings certain things to light that you didn't see before. Now, whether it ruins your day or not, I think it's up to the person. But no, I don't think you've affected how I view a certain film or a certain book or whatever. It's just, I actually appreciate another opinion.
Okay.
But I don't think it affects how it makes me feel.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I don't want that. I don't want.
Why would you think that?
Because I feel like sometimes, and it happens to me too, you know, I can go into something really enjoying it, and then I can hear somebody with a explanation or explaining, you know, here are all the problems with this movie. And I can, you know, your mind can change, be like, oh, wow. Now when you watch it with that perspective, knowing I didn't think of that when I watched it the other times.
I think too, when I first go into things, I go into it excited. So everything is like, oh my goodness, Batman's on the big screen. This You're is just amazing. Going through oh my it. Goodness, he has the belt. Oh my goodness, look what he's doing with his car. Look at the car. Like, everything is, but then when you go back and you're like, wait a minute, that's a little bit, you know what I mean?
Right.
When you start rethinking or rewatching, or you start now you're talking about putting this individual in a real world situation. Is that really real? Are you really real? Ugh. You know what I mean?
Well,
so it kind of makes you rethink your initial criticism.
Yeah. Yeah. Your original praise or your... Here's the thing for me. I enjoy... And I know this is going to sound extremely contradictory and hypocritical.
It's like having a deep-fried Mars bar. And in the beginning, you think, oh, this is going to be amazing. And then, like, you know.
By the end, you
15
feel
minutes
sick.
Later, you're like, why did I do that?
Right. I agree. I enjoy watching this movie still. Like, I know, I don't think it's a great movie. I thought it was when it came out, and I even thought it was better than The Avengers because it was Batman, and it was DC, and it was Christopher Nolan. So, like, to me, it's just, like, those three things make it better than anything Marvel does. I can watch it now and be like, this movie's got a lot of problems in it, and it's really not true to anything Bruce Wayne or Batman would do, regardless of the narrative you're trying to tell. Like, Batman would never stop being Batman because a girl died.
Exactly.
Like, that's just not what he does.
Yeah.
He would not become a recluse for 8 years and just be okay with being crippled and then suddenly get a knee brace and now he's back. Like, it's a lot of things are too convenient in this movie for them to make sense in what you've established, especially in what was established in the Christopher Nolan universe.
Mm-hmm.
I still like watching it, and I know this sounds crazy. I can still watch Batman vs Superman just because I like these characters. My bias comes in.
And this is why I can confidently say to you that what you say to me does not affect my opinion, because I highly disagree with you on that. I could be wrong and you can call me out on it. I don't think I've seen BVS in its entirety since the first time I saw it in theaters because I was that disappointed. I refused to watch it.
Right.
You can rewatch. I remember years back when Green Lantern came out. Who played it there? Ryan Reynolds.
Right.
And I was like, this is... Then we went into HNV, our local, you know, DVD movie hotspot, which is now shutting down because the internet's taking over. However, we went into the store and you're like, I'm going to buy it. And I'm like, why? Why are you going to do this to us? Please don't do this to us. Yeah. This is terrible. And you're like, no, but I have to. And I'm like, no, you really don't, though.
And I did the same thing with BVS.
I will not revisit where I know it is.
But I didn't get Suicide Squad.
I won't go back to something that I know it doesn't work for me and my soul. Like, I'm not going to do it to myself. You, however, have your opinions about stuff, but you can turn a blind eye to certain stuff and just enjoy it for what it is, not me.
Yeah,
And you're like, well, if you watch the extended version, it'll all make sense. I know. I gave you a chance. It sucked. I don't like it. And I'm not going to put myself through that agony again to make you feel better about what you messed up in the first place.
Yeah, I don't.
I refuse.
I don't use that. Like, when people say, oh, you got to watch the extended version, that's BS to me.
But you said that to me one time.
No, I said it explains things from the cinematic version that you get.
True. Yeah.
It explains it, but it doesn't change the fact that they killed Jimmy Olsen. It doesn't change the fact that Batman's killing people,
mm-hmm.
right? I like the visual of seeing, you know, for instance, Ben Affleck in the factory scene be Batman. Like, I like that. Like,
what factory scene?
Where he goes to rescue Martha. As stupid as the whole premise is, I like seeing that action sequence of Batman kicking butt where he takes the bat plane around and he jumps through the glass and he just takes down all of those guys that have Martha Cab. You remember that scene in the factory? It's a great Batman scene. It's like one of the best Batman fight scenes.
I'm telling you, I genuinely believe that the only time I saw this movie was the one time in the theater. And if you're saying it was about a year ago, I don't remember.
I absolutely love seeing Bruce Wayne run through Metropolis.
That I remember because right? I remember that's what I saw in the trailer and that's what I said, yes, that's what Batman would do.
Yes.
Everyone's running out, he's going in. Like, no hesitation.
Yes.
Like, that is Batman.
Yes.
And that's what endeared me to the movie when it was going to come out.
Right.
And then when it came out, it broke my heart. But
anyway. And that's the thing. Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that it's suddenly... Because I'm okay, it was good. I'll never say to someone like, this is a great version of Batman. I have almost, looking back, retrospectively, I feel like Dark Knight Returns has as many misfires in regards to what they did with Batman as BVS did. I find I can argue the same amount of things, but I'm not gonna. I think Dark Knight Returns is a better movie because it follows the story
better than Rises.
I think Dark Knight Rises is better than Dawn of Justice. Like I can for myself, I would put that above, but I feel like it's not a great movie.
I never said anything about Dawn of Justice.
No, I'm saying from like comparing two. I know that you did.
To be honest, I did completely forget about that movie. Which then, in retrospect, now makes me think of. I didn't put him down as any of the bad. Anyway, I think that's also in the Phantom Zone. I think because I generally didn't even remember. Like I know we're talking about it, but I forgot to even rank it. It's not on my list.
Right. It's hard because it's Batman versus Superman. You don't know whose movie it is.
But it's still well.
It is a Batman movie, and it is a Superman movie.
But wasn't it the Superman sequel?
Not really.
Okay, no. Forget that. Was it technically the Superman sequel?
I guess you could say it's a like follow-up.
Saying it's a follow-up. Civil War. It was actually a Captain America movie, but you can look at it and say, well, it's actually an Avengers movie because they're all in it. But it's actually the trilogy to.
Yeah, I guess I don't know how they. I don't know.
Technically speaking, BVS was Superman sequel. Yes, I'm asking.
I think so. Personally, okay. I think so.
Well, because if anybody knows, you want to let us know because we don't know nothing.
But I, just going back to Dark Knight Rises, I really liked it when it came out. It's a little bit upsetting when I watch it now. But I really like Bane and Catwoman. And Batman carries a bomb like he did in 1966.
Yeah, I think Catwoman was impeccable in this movie. I thought she was fantastic. I thought her costume was great. I thought, but everything also too was very practical. She didn't just have, you know, pointy ears just for the hell of it. It was like, no, it was functional.
Right.
They were her goggles, which she is known to have in the comics, but then they were like, when she wasn't wearing them, it gave the illusion of being cool. A cat. Like it was done very, like I said,
tastefully,
seamless, tasteful. You didn't even realize what was happening until it was. It's like, oh wait a minute, those are her. Oh okay, like that kind of. It was those moments that made me like the movie. Just things that happened naturally, without effortlessly.
Right.
So I thought Bane was a good looking, everything, the physical of him, his mask. I mean. Yeah, it was good. I liked it.
Can you do the Bane voice one more time?
No, I'm not going to do the Bane voice again. Following that, I'm going to say that I was a fan of The Dark Knight.
Okay, wow.
Yeah.
Dark Knight is many people's favorite movie.
It is.
And I always thought it was your favorite movie, but it doesn't.
It's very high up there. This was tough for me to not give it the number one spot. But it's not like I don't recognize it. If there wasn't something else that I felt took its place, this definitely would have been number one for me. But it is top ranks. It's amazing. The acting is impeccable. The Joker, I remember when I first saw him, I was not a fan. And I was kind of like, what are they doing with it? I don't like it. Why does he look so punk? Why, you know, I did not like it. And I was so happy to be, like, proven wrong.
So, this specifically brings me back to you don't like it when they change what you know the character to be, like they did with Penguin. Don't change it. This is a very similar situation. This is the equivalent.
But I feel like it was done well. Like, it wasn't... Yes, that's why I feel like I can say I don't have a problem with change. But just do it in an elegant way. You know what I mean? And I think Heath Ledger's portrayal of this character, man, I don't even see Heath Ledger. Now, I know he has the makeup and everything, but I don't see him.
That was tremendous.
Yeah. Wait, what number are we on right now?
I think this falls into number three, if I'm counting correctly.
Okay.
Oh, no, wait. You mentioned 66, Returns, and Dark Knight Rises.
So what should have followed, I got ahead of myself because I didn't forgot what ranking I'm on.
Okay.
It should have actually been, I'm taking this back, Batman 89.
Okay.
Batman 89, and then I will go ahead and put The Dark Knight Rises. That sounds more accurate.
So Dark Knight Rises is better for you than Batman 1989?
No, 89 is better.
Okay, okay.
We're going down. Okay. We're going from, I guess you would say, worst to best.
Okay.
Did we not clarify that?
Yes, yes.
Countdown, yeah.
Yes.
So, yes, so...
So far we're at 66, Batman Returns.
This is so complicated.
Dark Knight, and you wrote your notes. Imagine if you freestyled it.
Imagine! We'd still be trying to figure out what my name is. Still be stuck on that question.
We still gotta go through your favorite Batman and your villains and Alfreds.
Everyone's like, well, how long is this gonna take? Okay, yeah.
There's a lot
of
stuff here.
That's, yeah, so you did the ranking. So at this point in my life, I would have to say Batman 89.
In your life.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Classic. It was, there's never been a Batman movie.
And that's why I dislike the Joel Schumacher movies, because they buried Batman.
Yeah.
They killed him. And right. That's a whole other thing.
They almost killed the superhero genre.
But 89, I feel like, even though the Adam West TV series was campy, this was the movie that turned it around. Kind of like when the comic books were a little campy, Frank Miller turned it around. And this was the movie that did that for Batman. You know what I mean?
Right? High five. You hit it. Yeah, you didn't miss it. Good. Right, yes,
so,
yes.
I thought the movie was good. I thought Joker was, you know, he was psychotic but lethal.
Great Joker.
And funny, like, he's amazing.
Jack Nicholson's the Joker.
He, and in regards to Batman, like, this was, I guess, the first time I ever saw, I mean, I was only alive for a couple of years, and this was the first time I ever saw Batman on the big screen be a kick-ass, like...
You know what I really, really like about this movie? This is a perfect example for me of how much impact a soundtrack can make.
Mm.
And it was all original music, even from Prince and Danny Elfman, the most famous Batman score. You could watch this movie without any dialogue. And the last scene where, with the Batplane, and he's coming in and he crashes and he just walks up the cathedral. Just the visuals of that are outstanding because it really captures the whole, I don't know what the word to describe it is, but the whole ambiance of what Batman is, the cathedral, the big, you know, the clock tower and him mm-hmm. going up with the gargoyle stare, like it just, everything visually was there.
I feel like it was a happy medium for all audiences. Like it was appropriately colorful for the young audience. Like, you know, when the Joker is in the museum and he's painting and he's all purple, like his purple suit is very visible.
Right.
But then it also had the dark side where adults can be like, well, this is real.
Right.
You know what I mean? But so, however, like, again, with those unmentionable movies, they were almost, like, neon and theatrical and too outside of the box where it was just, it was laughable. It wasn't, no one could take it seriously. Bat skates? Like, I can't. I won't. But I found that this was, for its time, for it to be the one to introduce this world of heroes on screen, I think it was... It did what it came to do. It came, it saw, it conquered, and it
balanced
just,
all
it
of those
off.
Things, and the toys from it were awesome.
There you, yeah, exactly.
One of my
so merchandising took off.
Merchandising was huge for this movie. Yeah. Everybody, this is the, I think, the turning point where Batman became DC's crown jewel.
Mm.
Where this movie came out, and there was Batman merchandise, Batman comics, Batman toy, like everything you could. People were shaving Batman in the side of their head during this time. Like, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
They had a bat signal in Times Square when the movie was coming out, shining at nighttime. Like, this was a phenomenon. There's never been anything like this for a superhero movie. And Nicholson had part of his contract be that he got a percentage of the gross of the film or the merchandising or whatever. So he was making money off of this thing like crazy. I think he made, I don't want to say a number because I'll be wrong, but a ridiculous amount of money off of this movie, off of the points that, you know. But it was the music, the controversy of who they cast, all of that I thought was executed well.
Yeah.
Really well.
Yeah. So following that movie, that's where I would say at this point I would insert The Dark Knight. I think this was the first time where, as an adult, there's so many good things about this movie. I thought it was an impeccably well-paced story. Everything intertwined perfectly. I loved all the characters. I thought Harvey Dent, he kind of going back to when we were talking about our 10 top villains, like, you know, you envision your hero, the blonde hair, the blue eyes, this Caucasian white knight kind of thing. And like Harvey Dent in this story, and it was the epitome of that symbol. Like I said, I wasn't at first a fan of the punk Joker, but absolutely
tore it up.
Amazing. Like the way Jack Nicholson left that, like, that imprint of the Joker, Heath Ledger at this point, I think, is untouchable. But I thought, and the reason why I say that is because I feel like he portrayed three different sides of the Joker. So there was the psychotic side where, you know, when he's with the camera, torturing, tormenting, yeah, the not the cop,
the police officer dressed as Batman.
Yes. Him. Yes. He's tormenting him. And he's kind of laughing hysterically about stuff, but at the same time he would switch and be like, look at me. You know what I mean? Yeah, yeah. Like that. It's like, I thought we were laughing. Yeah. And now we're scared.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Then there was that humorous side where he was wearing a freaking nurse outfit and just being, you know, like,
it was great modern day portrayal. Like, again, it was another take on the Joker that was completely different from anyone come before him. But like you said, it captured exactly what the Joker is, but then it added layers to it where it's been adapted into the comic books. Like, this guy's portrayal was so good that we've got to add.
If you think about it, the Joker's not stupid.
Not at all.
He's a very...
He's a sociopath.
He is an intelligent, one step of ahead kind of guy who... He's a manipulator. He thinks he entails so many different things that...
And it's all the unknowns about the Joker that make him work, right? Because he's got so many different... Like, even how he explains how he gets the scars.
Well, this is the thing, right? I was going to say that until you interrupted me.
I did not interrupt you.
Yeah, I paused. I was in mid-thought.
I took the conch shell from you. Go ahead.
What I was going to say was, this is the movie where his, he doesn't exactly have a backstory, yet we're being fed one every couple of scenes. Mm. Like you said, with the scars, right? Do you know how I got these scars? I was married. Do you know how I got these scars? I had a dad that I didn't like. Like, it's having a story without knowing for sure.
Right. There's just, that you know that there's damage.
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't a Joker who fell into a vat of chemicals and his skin is bleached white. This is a guy who actually puts on makeup, which, I'm traditional, I want him to fall into the chemicals. Like, I want him to be the Joker that way. But in Christopher Nolan's world,
everything he premeditated when he was at the precinct, like when Gordon put it together and said he wanted me to lock him up in the ICU. Like he planted that cell phone in the guy's gut. He was trying to pretend like he had nothing to do with it, but he had everything to do with it. He got under that officer's skin when he was like
the pace is just like, you can't take your eyes off of it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, all the things you're saying, there's so much happening and so much plot that the Joker has, and it's like edge of your seat the whole time.
Yep.
And it all ties in well.
When he was in the interrogation room, yeah. And then he was like trying to piss off the cop. He's like, "I know you." He's like, "I'm this kind of cop, and I know the guys that like getting beating the crap out of them and like it." And the ones that, you know, and Joker was just egging him on because he just wanted to get his hands on him. Because
he almost had Batman.
There you go. So it was just, you know, just very well, excellently portrayed character. And I think he makes that movie.
Yeah.
He makes that movie.
This movie is a perfect example of classic moments. Where,
which, now that you said classic moment, in my opinion, in my favorite scene is the hospital scene, where I think in that moment you really do see Joker's madness, where he's talking to Harvey and telling him introduce some anarchy, and in that same scene you see Harvey's transformation to Two-Face,
and it's all earned, right? This was the problem that a lot of people had. I hate going back to it, but with BVS is that you want to have all of these special moments, but you have to earn getting there properly. Like this one, you established Harvey as a character and what he stood for, what his goals were, but you knew he had a little bit of a madness in him, especially when he got the, where he was,
when he had Shift.
Yes.
When he had Shift, right. When he abducted him.
Right. And
he
you put saw him that the... he was a little on the verge because he's so, you know,
passionate, shall we say.
Sure, passionate. But even the interrogation scene with Batman and Joker, classic film scene, earned. Mm-hmm. You get there. You know, you see that he's driven Batman to this point because Batman was ignoring him in the beginning. Like, you know, the whole mob or one man. To the point where now Batman becomes obsessed with catching him.
Mm-hmm.
The truck flipping over, like... amazing cinematography. That whole being in the theater, seeing that happen.
When a Joker is begging for Batman to hit him.
All of these things are just...
And he didn't even flinch when Batman, like, last minute did the little, you know, to avoid him. He just turned around, like... Like, he did that thing with his teeth. Yeah, yeah. Like, he's like, this guy. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
My only thing with this movie that I'm never a fan of is... killing the villain. I didn't like that Harvey Dent died, and I didn't like that the last scene of Batman and Joker isn't the end of the movie. I feel like that needs to close out the movie, something powerful with him and Joker, whereas I felt like it was a little anticlimactic.
To be honest, when I first saw this movie, the first time in the theater, maybe because I didn't want to believe it, but I didn't think that Harvey died. I thought he just fell.
Yeah.
And was just unconscious. Yeah. I didn't know he died until everyone said he
died. And they kept that theme and in then the next they kept movie.
It. Yeah. They clarified that. No, he's dead.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, but I thought he just hit his head.
Yeah.
That would be better.
He survived the whole bomb of a factory and only half his face was saved. Yeah.
So, yeah.
So.
Not everything is always 100%.
It's pretty close to 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I know we're picking these things apart, and it sounds like we don't like any of these movies. This movie we
love. No, I like these movies. They're just in a particular order.
Right.
So, that's where I would leave off. Now, I guess what I would now go to is next up. Can I move on, or do you have more questions?
Move on.
Batman Begins.
Wow. This is my favorite one of the trilogy. A lot of people put Dark Knight. This one's my favorite.
This is Batman Begins. Because for me, it wasn't exactly a reboot. It was like a whole do-over. And I think it was the first time where I saw Batman and he became real to me. Like, I believe in Batman. This movie made me do it.
My only disappointment with this movie... I feel this is like a perfect Batman movie. Showing, I like how the story's told. I like seeing him in the prison. I like seeing him trying to understand the criminal mindset. I love the, you know, I don't love that his parents die. I like the scene of it, how it affected him throughout. Like, all of it. I love it. I love how he becomes Batman. I don't like that this wasn't the opening to, now let's make a Superman movie.
But that's a completely different character.
No. What I mean is that this version of Batman to me was so good that I wish that the DC universe was built off of that movie and the way they portrayed Batman there for him to,
rather than them starting with Superman?
Yes. I wish.
Yeah, but
I wish,
Nolan had made it clear that he didn't want anything to do with
that's,
the real world.
That's my, that became,
but that's
the
a director
biggest
problem.
That's
not
the biggest problem with this trilogy ultimately, is that they condensed it to making it this real world thing to the point where you're taking a character that's not real world. You're taking a comic book character. You're taking a character who, if you expand it and allow it to exist in a world where Ra's al Ghul does have a Lazarus pit and all of the things that you've kind of set up in this movie, you expand on it. And then, you know, this Gotham City across, you know, a couple states, there is a metropolis.
Across the river.
However, I just wish this was the DC universe. This, because I don't think that it had to go the route of being so real world where everything had to be logical. I think Batman needs to
But I think that's also, I understand your point, but I also think that's why it made it so good, because things made sense.
Yes, they explain why, like, his cowl would have this in it. There's where you put the technology would all fit. Like, I loved how Lucius helped him put the costume together. I liked how he spray painted it. I liked how you see him.
So was this your show or mine?
No,
is this your opinion or mine?
Let me go back to the email where the cousin Adam says, if you feel like it, you can include Eric in this discussion. You don't feel like it?
Someone's abusing their power a little bit.
All right,
I'm just
sorry,
saying.
Go ahead.
No, keep
saying,
going.
I'm just saying I wish that they would have built a Superman Batman with this version of Batman from this movie and kept it going like that instead of making it so, no. No one else exists except Batman. I didn't like that.
Can't cry over spilled milk.
I guess not. But I really love this movie.
I do too. And a lot of the reasons why I like it was, you know, I love seeing Bruce Wayne and his journey, facing his fears, learning to deal with his past, embracing this path that he was gonna embark. I think the casting was imperative. It was perfect. I know that Christian Bale has done other movies before, but there was something unknown about his face, which I think worked as an asset in the movie, because I'm not being distracted by Christian Bale, the actor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm seeing Bruce be developed. I'm seeing Batman become, you know what I mean?
Yes.
I thought that was a bonus, actually, to have someone that wasn't familiar. And also too, the people that he had to portray, he wasn't just acting as Bruce Wayne, the playboy. He was also acting as Bruce Wayne, the one that only Alfred gets to see. But then at the same time, he's also playing Batman.
Right.
And in my head, he's playing Batman again, the one in the cave, the detective. But when he's on the streets, he's playing Batman, the demon, the fear monger, the one that's instilling this fear in people.
Mm-hmm.
There were so many layers to this character that I really, really, really liked. Why are you looking at me like that?
I'm just smiling at you. I like hearing
you're
you talk
so
about.
Weird.
I like hearing you talk about Batman.
The only criticism I have about this movie is I don't like Rachel Dawes. I don't like.
Really?
The Katie Holmes.
Okay.
I don't like her.
Did you like Maggie Gyllenhaal better?
I did, a whole lot better. That
Why?
Girl had sass. She was like not taking. She wasn't intimidated by thugs.
You didn't like... I thought Katie Holmes did a pretty good job.
Yeah, but she was kind of like a whiny little, like, you know, like to put Bruce in his place and...
I like that she could do that.
Yep, Maggie did it too. But she did it with, like, because, you know, we have history. We have, you know, I know something about you and I know the true you. And if you're not gonna... You can't fool me kind of situation. With Katie, I felt like it was more like She thought, like, she was on this high horse thing. I didn't like it. I didn't like how she portrayed it. But, yeah, I like how I got to see him make batarangs. And he, the designing the cowl and, again, him becoming the Batman. I got to see that transition. There's nothing.
His fear of bats.
There's nothing like it. There's nothing like him becoming this person. And my favorite scene, actually I have two favorite scenes in that movie. One of them is when he's training with Ra's al Ghul in the Arctic on the ice, and you can actually hear the ice popping.
That was real.
It was real.
Yeah.
Like they had, I think we talked about this in one of our podcasts, where they had like emergency people just in case someone fell through the ice because it was that dangerous. Like there was ice cracking and things falling apart all around them. But cinematically, I thought it was breathtaking. It was beautiful. The ice, how the color of the sky, everything. But they're amongst this fragile layer that's dividing them from, you know, in the water and land. They have this heavy armor with swords, and they're doing this urokusaki type stuff. You know what I mean? Like, I thought it was very cool. But my favorite, I think my ultimate favorite scene is the very, very end. The very end when he gets that Joker card.
Oh.
He turns that around and I'm like, oh my gosh, it's happening.
Yeah.
And that scene to me,
to this day,
does not get old.
Yeah, yeah.
Does not get old.
And that like, what the universe, to me, the possibilities that this movie opens itself up to was just so exciting. Watching it after all of the years of having a bad taste left in your mouth of the other Batman movies, like seeing what they did here, and just like, thank you for paying respects to this character and properly, you know, giving homage to certain material, but changing it where you needed to for the sake of the story to work. But you got it. You got Batman. Thank you.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't wait for what would come next.
So that was my number one spot.
That was number one?
That's tied with another one.
Where I thought we were leaving one out. That's why I was kind of like, I feel like she's leaving things out. Keep going. What's your tied number one? Which one are you leaving best for last?
Batman? Mask of the Phantasm. That holds my number one spot along with Batman Begins, and with a very close second, like
very similar movies.
Is the Dark Knight. Oh, this movie. It's a goodie.
We have in our archives an episode where we discussed Batman Mask of the Phantasm.
We do.
We never posted it. It's in the archives, oh the hidden God. Treasures of the cave. But yeah, we did a whole episode talking
That's
about...
That's true.
Mask of the Phantasm. I love this movie.
It's a fantastic movie.
Fantastic.
Okay. It is. No, it really is. No, there's nothing... I can't...
It is.
So it obviously was a spinoff of the animated series, which I would always run home after school to go watch.
They were going to make it direct to video, but the material was so good that they're like, let's put it in the theater.
I don't think it did that great in the theater, though.
It didn't do great.
I'm sorry. It holds its own. It's a great movie. And I think a lot of people can attest to that. It's great. This was, I think, although it was an animated movie, there was so much...
It got so much right.
It was so weighty. And it had... This was the first time I saw Bruce Wayne have a past, where he wasn't just Batman, he was a person. Do you know what I mean? Why are you looking at me like that?
Andrea.
And I think it was also one of the first times where there was real commentary on his being a detective, which I think on... It didn't really happen on the big screen with the other movies.
You never really see him do too much detective work in the movies, unfortunately.
But in this movie, he did. Like, he was... piecing certain things together, looking at photographs, voice recognition, like things like that. Like, he is a detective. And I thought this movie nailed that on the head. I think this is, like you said, it was very similar. It was the animated form of Begins. It was the Batman that was most realistic to me as a kid.
Even though it was animated.
He was a tragic figure in this movie. He made me sad, and the fact that he rejected the chance of having a normal life. Like, even though I was a kid when this came out, I'm like, oh man, that's sad. That's not, you feel bad for him, you know what I mean? The man that has everything but is lonely and has nothing. Can you stop looking at me like that? You're freaking me out.
I'm just looking at you.
And obviously, the voice that is like, what did we say last time? I think it was the voice of God. Darth Vader. And then I think it's Kevin Conroy. Like, it's amazing stuff. Amazing stuff, this movie. There was so many good things about this movie. There was a great plot twist. There was mafia storyline. There was revenge. It integrated great key characters like the Joker.
Spoilers. I gave Joker a little history telling you who he was, but you knew that he came from criminal past.
Yeah, he had a backstory. It was well paced. It was heartwarming. You know, you feel for
heartbreaking too.
Wrenching. Yeah. You felt for auxiliary characters like Andrea Beaumont. There was a love story in this movie. It had everything. It was like the Bible. It had everything. It had it had love. It had warfare. It had like heartbreak. It had, you know, like, it was everything. It was so, so good.
Yeah, it is. It really does. It is one of the finer Batman films, if not the best theatrically released Batman movie. Did you watch it in the theater?
Yes. Yes, I did.
So did I.
I did.
I went with my cousins.
Yeah?
I had my mom from work had special tickets to go see it at, I think it was the big theater in Midtown in the city where you had like the cathedral, not the cathedral seating, but like the opera house seating that they would have. Uh-huh, where you sat on the balcony and stuff. We went to watch it there. So, yeah, it was pretty exciting to be able to have, like, the special passes to go and see this movie that, I guess at the time, seemed like a throwaway. Mm-hmm. But to be able to say that we saw it in the theater is kind of cool.
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah. I still remember, though, even more vividly, the day that I was gifted the VHS. Hmm. And it came home. It had the white, they had the blue cover. And the outside, it was, like, the white plastic cover, and I unwrapped that sucker like no one, and I just threw it in there. It was,
came with a little comic book.
This movie, anyone who hasn't seen it, you should see it. It's a great, great film.
Film.
I would go so far as to say it's a film.
You know what's cool about this movie is that all the animated movies, I don't know how it is they do it, but within 90 minutes and less, they give you so much story.
So good.
And there's so many more layers and character building that you get from it than when you watch a live action. It's like, I don't know.
Man, Bruce was on the cusp of having a normal life, and it got ripped away from him. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, they're so, I feel like watching that movie right now.
Shakespearean.
Yes, very.
Yeah, it's a great one.
Yeah.
It's a great one. So that's your number. I like that you didn't go obvious. I like that you didn't have 89 Batman number one or Dark Knight number one. Like, you really gave it your
I really fear. Thought about this. I really tried to, like, really assess and be like, all right, what does it for me?
Right.
And that, those movies, I think, in that particular order, I would have to say, but, yeah.
So who is your favorite portrayal of Batman? Who is Batman for you?
So I narrowed it down to three.
Okay.
And I'm going to have to say that I think there was a lot of, protest when this particular Batman was announced. Michael Keaton. Like I said, he was my first Batman, real Batman, come to life. So there's a bit of an emotional attachment kind of thing, and I'm Batman. Like, I said, I heard that. I heard him say that out loud, like, coming out of real skin. Like, it really happened. It was
a person saying it.
Following him, if he's my three, I would say number two, my Christian Bale. He could move his neck. I don't know what to say. I don't know. Like, I thought he was a great Bruce Wayne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He played that playboy, you know, falling asleep in the boardroom. Legitimately, so, because he was fighting crime fighters, but everybody looks at him like this schmuck who you know, we have to refill the trust fund. Yeah. Comes in with his, you know, his two hoes.
And I love that it wasn't obvious.
Yeah.
Both of those guys weren't obvious picks for Batman, and they worked out well.
Yeah.
And your number one spot?
Kevin Conroy, of course. That's what I grew up with.
He is
Batman to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you hear his voice when you read the comics?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
He's got the best, to me, not definition, but understanding of the difference between Bruce and Batman.
Yes.
Whereas I think initially I didn't mind the Christian Bale voice, but as the movies wore on, it was becoming more of a joke after a while because it was so...
With all the technology that he put... That's my only gripe about the trilogy. With all the technology that he had at his disposal, and he was very, like, handsy with his equipment, like, you could have just very easily generated a voice changer. And just attached to your mask.
And I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Batman should have a voice modulator in his cowl. That's Kevin Conroy.
You did say that.
Right? How amazing would that be if you saw live action Batman?
I think everyone would just fall off their chair. He is Batman.
Good picks. Good picks for your favorite Batman. Now, how about your favorite villains? How do you rank your Jokers and your Penguins and your Riddlers, and where
so
do they all come?
I narrowed it down to five. There's a lot of villains, especially in the Nolan.
Yeah.
Tons of villains. But I really, really, really did enjoy Carmine Falcone.
Yeah, I like that.
I like him.
Yeah, I liked him too.
That guy had a swag, arrogant swag about him. Felt
like
Nolan,
a dog.
No, please. That was a line.
I
liked him.
Banged. Like a dog. Yeah, it was good.
Felt no one could touch him, so he thought. Mm-hmm. And, he's a good one.
Yeah.
I liked him. I liked the suit.
So he's number five?
He's number five. Yeah.
Number four?
I'm going to say Scarecrow.
Nice pick. I liked Scarecrow, too.
He freaked me out as a kid in the animated series. It's kind of psycho.
Sure.
But I liked him because... Yeah, I liked him.
So two so far from Batman Begins.
Yeah, because he wasn't in the animated movie. But I liked him because he was a cocky bully, even though he was like scrawny and he wasn't really intimidating. There was a bunch of other villains that outmatched him,
right,
by far, because of strength. But he didn't exactly let it stop him from doing what he wanted to do. He had like a dual personalities situation going on. There was Dr. Jonathan Crane, who was like the most intelligent, most normal in the room, the most sane, yet he was the lunatic.
Right.
He was like, I think we said before, he was the only villain that was in all of the Nolan films. So for him to kind of show up again and again and again, I think is a testament on how well He played the role.
Nolan likes having his repeat.
He does.
People.
He does have his faves.
He likes that actor.
But I think it was funny, though, in each film that he came back and he came in a little bit crazier. I think by the time we got to the trilogy, he was like, his suit was all withered and destroyed.
He's the judge.
Yeah. He was an opportunist and very charismatic, and I digged his portrayal of the Scarecrow. I liked him.
Number three?
Two-Face, hands down.
Cart.
Yeah.
So Dark Knight. Yeah, he was... I would have liked to see him in a full movie. I liked him so much. It was just a shame that you only see him as Two-Face for the last, third of Dark Knight.
It's true. However, I think I like the fact that it took time for him to become Two-Face.
Yes, I did too.
Because I think it was done on purpose so that the audience can experience the heartache that you would... that the film was trying to evoke if anyone in Nolan's world found out about the White Knight. You know what I mean?
Right.
You're like, yeah, he's the hero. He's going to make it. Although you know his inevitability, it hurts even more to know, like, crap.
Right.
He was just right there, and we lost him.
Right.
And we lost him big time. Like, he's a killer. He's not stable.
Yeah,
he's,
we can't redeem him.
I think it was done. I think he did it really, really well. I love the makeup. Ugh. The makeup in that movie for him, I remember seeing the first time when they introduce him in the hospital, when he's just about to turn to the audience, but the camera turns away. I'm like, what? Like,
yeah, show it.
Yeah.
Are they going to show it? Yeah. And when they do, it was like,
oh. That's and you can see his like. Masseter moving up and down. And for anyone who doesn't know, that's a muscle in your mouth, in your cheek. But, like, you like to actually see things moving. Or when he takes, like, that swig in the bar and it just drools outside of his face.
And it looks so painful.
Oh, man. But again, like, the personality that comes out when he is Two-Face. Like, he's very hot-tempered, short, angry. The pain.
Yeah.
The pain.
He has to constantly living in pain.
Yeah.
Yeah. You never think of that.
Well, because Gordon kind of says, like, you're refusing skin grafts. Like, you're in a lot of pain. And he's like, there's no pain compared to what it's like to lose the one that you love, right? And that, again, reminiscent to the animated series. Oh, he's good. He's good. I like everything about him.
So, Aaron Eckhart number. So far we got. Oh, I can't remember
your Carmen Falcone.
Carmen Falcone.
Scarecrow.
I remember they were from Batman Begins, but I didn't want to say Ra's al Ghul. So, who's your number two?
Ra's al Ghul.
Okay, so Batman Begins is running away with the villains. I like it. Yeah, Liam Neeson, I thought, was a perfect Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah, I think there was enough screen time to invest and understand his character, mm-hmm. which I thought was done great. He was a threatening persona without having to don a mask. You know what I mean? He was...
I wish he was...
And he never does. Like, even in the comics, he's very open to the... like,
doesn't hide
detective.
Who he is.
Like,
yeah.
He's...
I wish he would have come back in the third installment with Talia.
Imagine.
Like, I healed you. I've healed you. You let me die, but I've healed you. Will you join me now? Something like that. Like, some sort of crisis of Bruce's conscience for him to have to be like, crap, this
and
guy
I
brought
think
me back.
Although, he doesn't look, like I said, he's not... He doesn't look intimidating, but I think he is one of the few who can physically and intellectually take on Batman.
Oh, yeah.
Which... That's a scary villain to have.
Oh, yeah.
But he's also very sophisticated.
Oh, yeah.
And proper, and...
He makes it seem like he's a gentleman and of the upper echelon of what human society should be like.
Echelon?
Echelon.
And he's an environmentalist, which I think I'm...
You would side with Ra's al Ghul.
I'm a fan.
Let's kill half the population of people that we can't stand, that are ruining the planet.
Yeah.
Let's start over.
I stand by that 100%.
So if you were friends with Bruce, you'd be like, "Let's do it." If you were Robin, you'd be like, "I think he's onto something, Bruce."
Just hear him out.
You'd be the Jason Todd of Batman Robins. Your number one?
I think my number one is everyone's number one. It would be the Joker.
Jack Nicholson.
Ledger, actually. To me, it would be Ledger. There's... Yeah. I that sounds sacrilege, I guess. No, but not for at me,
all. Not at all. He won the Oscar.
I don't know. There's something about him. There's something about him having portrayed that type of character with no backstory, even though he gives different variations of it. So he's a mystery to everyone. He looks menacing in that makeup, which sometimes looks the same and sometimes it's like it's
inconsistent.
Very inconsistent, which is I think
wears out throughout the day.
I think it's what's that word? It's like it mirrors his personality. He's inconsistent. He's unstable. He's not right in the head. He's a little bit nuts. So he's like the boogeyman. And I like him. Mm. I think like everybody does.
I like it. I agree with you on almost every point, except for one.
Which?
My favorite villain is Mark Hamill as the Joker.
Ah.
He's best Joker for me. And I almost think that Mark Hamill could have played the Joker in his younger days. Like, if he was cast to be Joker, he's got the face. And I think he could do it. I think he could.
You know who actually I think has the face? I don't know his name. But I know what movie he's been in.
Okay.
He's been in the movie Escape Plan. He played a doctor. But you probably know him more being Dr. Grant in Jurassic Park.
Oh.
When he smiles, I feel like with the right makeup, I think he could do it. This is just my unprofessional...
No, I think you could pull it off.
Stupid opinion. I think he could do it.
Sam Neill.
Is that his real name?
Sam Neill, yeah.
I just know him as Dr. Grant.
Yeah, I know exactly who you're talking about. Yeah.
The face.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about the face. And he has, like, these natural smile lines. I think that would accentuate and bring out the character.
You're onto something.
I
don't know.
When I saw him in Escape Plan... Actually, I watched... Jurassic Park a couple of days ago. And then I saw Escape Plan and he was in that movie too. And just his look, I don't know. I'm like, oh my goodness, I think he could do it.
Do you know who I think could have played the Joker and was actually supposed to be the voice of the Joker for the animated series? Tim Curry.
You gotta tell me who his pretend person is. Oh!
Home Alone?
I don't like that guy. You know, he's also the Cardinal in Three Musketeers. Yes. And he's just...
He
slimy.
That's the Joker. Yeah. He'd make a pretty great Joker.
I don't like his face.
That's the point. It's uncomfortable. But he could have done it.
Not slimy uncomfortable. Threatening and gonna kill you and laugh while I do it uncomfortable is one thing. That's I'm undressing you with my eyes. Slimy.
No.
Yes, it is. That face that you showed me. No, I don't like it. But that's your opinion. That's fine.
I'm saying he was supposed to be the voice for animated series.
Really?
Yeah. It was. He was supposed to do it.
Oh.
Yeah. But Mark Hamill, thankfully. Best Joker. In the films, I'd have to give what Ledger did top spot. Because as much as, okay, you want to consider Mask of the Phantasm a film, like, in the theaters, the Joker didn't have as much heavy lifting to do as Heath Ledger did in Dark Knight. So I would agree with you on almost all points that you went with. I don't know if my villains would be exactly the same, because there is quite a few to pick from. Mm-hmm. And you could easily go, you know, Mark Hamill, Jack Nicholson, Heath Ledger, Jokers.
Yeah.
You know, because people...
You could. I didn't want to use that. I didn't want that to be my default.
No.
It's also very obvious.
Yeah.
I did want to give some variation, but at the same time, that is who I liked. I liked how they were portrayed. I liked how they brought the character to life, and I think they did a bang-up job.
Stellar. They buckled down and they did it. Anything else you want to add to this Batman?
Well, Cousin Adam did ask for my
Alfreds. Oh, Alfreds. That's right. That's right. I think Alfred is the most important character in any Batman story. I think when it's not there, the story is sorely lacking. So it's essential that you give me your favorite Alfred portrayals.
I narrowed it down to three. So there was the first Alfred I ever saw on the big screen.
What was his name? The one from the 66?
No, not that one. Sorry, from 89 to the Batman and Robin.
Okay, who?
Michael Goh.
Michael Goh, yes. So he's your number three.
Yes.
Now, does his ranking end up there because he was in the ones that no longer exist?
No, he's there because I liked his tuxedo tailcoat.
He was a good Alfred in 89 version, wherever. I like that scene when they had the fundraiser at Wayne Manor, and Bruce is putting a glass here.
His attention to detail was impeccable when it came to Bruce, and I thought that is what Alfred would be. He's the kind of Alfred that would think ahead.
Yeah.
But I thought he had a very endearing and kind face.
But that Alfred let Vicky into the Batcave.
You know, that's why he's number three.
All right.
That's why he's number three, but...
Fair enough.
I think he may have missed a pill that night, but he still did a lot of good.
Okay.
He still did a lot of good.
Number two?
I would have to say the Batman animated series, Alfred.
Let me look up who portrayed that Alfred. He was a great Alfred.
I thought he was the type of... He was the type of guy that even Bruce knew he was a force.
Yeah,
there was a respectability. He was, obviously, he was a former British agent with combat skills, but he also had this flair about him. Deeply cared for Bruce, but he also maintained, like, this kind of testy relationship with him, which I thought was always very comedic.
Yeah.
He
wasn't scared to speak up to him.
No.
Yeah.
A great comedic timing. He had this dry sense of humor. he would be the kind of guy that he would roll his eyes at Bruce and be like, "What are you doing?" He would just be very very sarcastic and just...
He put him in his place in a very, like, passive-aggressive way.
Yeah, yeah.
Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. was the guy who played Alfred Pennyworth.
There you go.
There you go. And your number one?
My number one of my Alfreds would have to be Michael Caine.
It's hard not to... It's other than the animated series version, Michael Caine was, you know...
He was just... He's... In this version of him, I found him to be... Not that he never was in the other versions, but... To me, he was more of a father to Bruce than a butler.
You saw him hug young Bruce. Like that. And you saw him deal with teenage Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
And you saw him stitch up Batman Bruce.
He was the one that helped actualize Bruce's mission. You know what I mean? He was there ordering materials to make the cowls, and he was there exploring the cave with Bruce. Bruce was like, "Alfred, come look at this." He's like, "I'm fine right here. Thank you very much." he was always there. And I feel like he was the type of Alfred that revealed his heart.
Yeah.
Which, why it was so gut-wrenching when him and Bruce had it out in the last movie. But I find that he also had that wit. He knew when to use it. But he also was very warm. Very, like... I think it was in The Dark Knight where he says... where Bruce says, you know, "Well, we all know how you like to say, I told you so." And he's like, "Well, Master Brain, on that day, even I won't want to."
Right.
He is just the guy. I want him to be my grandpa.
Yeah.
I want him to be my abuelito. But even though he would also speak to Bruce with the truth. Yeah. Although he would be very tactful and empathetic, and he knew Bruce perfectly. He knew when to approach him. He knew when to hold back certain things. Like when Bruce was broken and he was sad about Rachel's passing,
he was constantly protecting him.
Always.
Even to his own detriment, even to Alfred's detriment. Like, he knew that he might have to pay for Bruce's loyalty, but he had to do what was right for him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it was, Michael Caine was awesome. But I do like seeing Alfred with the little mustache. I have to say, Jeremy Irons, I did like his Alfred as well. There hasn't been an Alfred that I didn't like.
You know what?
Except
you say this, I genuinely forget about that damn movie. You're right. He's another one, which, although I think
he was the only one with talking sense to him.
Yeah, but you know what? True enough. But he was pissy about it. See, Alfred, the ones that I like, they were kind, they were patient. They had their moments where they had to tell Bruce the truth, but there was a way in delivering the message. This guy was just like harsh, and
all you could see was Scar, right?
I think that's what it is. He's a villain to me, so he's one of my top 10 villains, Scar. Not to say that I didn't like him. I liked how he kind of like rough around the edges, but at the same time, what makes you feel for Alfred? It's because he's the one that you, I don't know, he's one to love, I guess, and he's warm and
I think there's no Batman without Alfred. He wouldn't survive a day. He wouldn't survive a week. Maybe a day. He might get through a day. But every time he comes home, he's able to come home because he knows Alfred is there to fix him up.
Well, because he wasn't just his butler. He wasn't just his medical person. He was also his companion. Like, he was there for someone to unload on. And to talk to. And like I said, there was that Bruce Wayne that only Alfred could ever see. And no one else would. We have the privilege as the audience to see that it's chemistry.
It's true.
But no one would ever get to see that side except him. And that's
a good point. Is that, yeah, you're right. You don't ever really see, nobody knows Alfred and Bruce the way the reader does. Mm-hmm. You know, Alfred gets to see Dick Grayson and Bruce. He gets to see Tim Drake. Like, he has a relationship with everybody, but to really get into the heart of Batman, you know, seeing him at different moments in the cave, only Alfred gets that privilege. It's true. That's a good point. I often say, like, what would a Batman comic be without Alfred? It would probably suck.
It won't be anything. It
wouldn't be anything. More than a Robin, he needs an Alfred.
I think so.
Yeah. Well, that was fun.
That was long.
It was as long as the Superman one.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. We went 2 hours talking Superman.
Man.
So next time here in the cave, we are going to get into your favorite Spider-Man. I'm just kidding. That'll be a short episode for you. You're not such a fan of the Spider-Man. Is there another character or franchise, superhero franchise, that you think you can talk at length the way we do with Superman or Batman? I don't think there's as many films of any other characters the way they are, but I don't know, I think I could do a Captain America. That one's made it up there for me.
I want to say, not because I know much source material, but because I like this character so much.
Oh, I know. Daredevil.
How'd you know I was going to say that?
I know my Daff J. I know my Lady J.
And I think it's because he's the closest to Batman. I think that's what it comes down to.
I think, and I could be completely wrong, and I know you'll say that I'm wrong, I think if you read Daredevil and watched Daredevil enough, you would eventually become Daredevil would be your number one character. Knowing you. Because I see when you watch Daredevil and when you read Daredevil, I see you with the same reaction that you get from Batman. And I think you would even admire him to a greater extent because he's not as he's not as affluent. He doesn't have the resources. He doesn't have all of what Batman has. It's just so much more guts for him to do what he does.
Yeah.
And on it's on a smaller scale, but it's like he's using
sonar
fire escapes to his advantage, as opposed to, you know, just his walking stick.
Yeah.
He should really be Batman because he uses a sonar. You ever think of that? His power is a sonar thing, like a bat. And he can't see. Blind as a bat. Right? And Batman should be Daredevil, because he's not scared of anything. You can flip it back and forth. I see you, Daft J.
I want to get into it. I just, when the books are thick, I can't. I'm like, nah.
You just gotta read them. Is it because it's too heavy to carry, or it just seems like too much to read? Like too heavy. Okay.
Both.
That's a whole other.
I wonder though, and I know it's not the same feeling, like the tactile and what it smells like and all this stuff, but I wonder if I read the digital version, maybe I'd be more
Marvel Unlimited. It's like Netflix for Marvel Comics.
I can do that.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Pay $8 a month, but you got everything. Everything at your disposal.
But the only thing that, see, the convenience of it, I see it, but it also, what also deters me from doing that is the authenticity isn't there. There's something about, I guess, holding it in your hand.
So picky. But you don't want to hold the book, but you don't want it on the screen, but you want it on the screen, but you...
What if I get an audio version? Do they have audiobooks for comic books?
Why would you need to look at the picture?
Oh, that's right. That's right.
We're getting tired, Dab.
Maybe they illustrate it for you.
Yeah, that's what the comic book is. Thank you for listening to The Cave of Solitude and our special on the Batman films. Thank you for Cousin Adam for writing in. Keep sending your suggestions. We love getting audience feedback and audience participation. And if there's something that we're passionate about where we can give, you know, 2 hours worth of conversation and commentary on it, we love doing it. Thank you.
This is a road trip episode is what this is.
That's right. Or a good commute to work.
It's enough to take you to the border.
Depending where you live. So once again, thank you for listening. You can email us at caveofsolitude@outlook.com and leave us a review on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review if you like the show. It helps get the word out there and helps more people to listen to us. Daft J, any final words?
Until next time, keep fit and have fun, folks.